being there when nobody else.
Amen.
The one constant in our lives, He is our Lord and our Savior.
Amen.
The person of the Holy Spirit, He stands not only by us, but in us.
Amen.
Amen. I greet you in the marvelous, matchless name of Jesus.
Amen.
The last Sunday in the month of January.
Amen.
Amen. And we do want to reiterate the church conference directly after service to take care of some business. It will not take long. Also, we want to admonish the leaders of auxiliaries, if you would be present on the first Sunday of February, I think it was the class. We want to have what is called an installation service, but it's a service just to pray for the ones who have decided to serve in the capacity of leading their auxiliary. Amen?
Amen.
In that same essence, I want to again recognize Sister Kelly of London for being with us. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Any time that you want to run for public office, it is admirable when you go into public service, which is, can be a very thankless task. Amen. And as it is here at Faith, we don't tell you who to vote for, but we do tell you to vote. And have I got a witness?
Amen.
Don't get me started about how people died.
Amen.
So that we would have the right to voice our opinion by way of vote.
Amen.
If you do not vote, you are derelict of your duty. Amen. I believe that every Christian ought to vote. That is our way of at least swaying it for Christ.
Amen.
Is by way of our vote. So we want you to be registered always, but certainly vote through the filter of the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
There's a word from the Lord, and we have been talking about being married. The last couple of sermons dealt with marriage. Actually, it was the mystery of marriage. And matter of fact, I taught somewhere at a seminar on yesterday with a group, and we're going to bring it here to Faith. We're going to hopefully reactivate the couples ministry, and we will also reactivate the singles ministry here. We want you to know that seemingly everything is geared toward being married. If I got a witness. And the problem with most marriages is that before the people got married, they did not learn how to be single.
Amen.
This is going to be a quiet sermon. Amen. And God wants me to address the singles, because before you can be married, you got to learn how to be single. And we are looking so focused into being married that we skip the season in which God has given us, and that is our singleness. Somebody say singleness.
Singleness.
Singleness is not to be rushed through, but it is to be embraced. And we cannot embrace being single if we're so focused on getting married. Come on, help me, somebody. Seemingly, even when you go to church, people will look at you some kind of way. I don't know what kind of church I got. But they'll look at you if you're 25 years old, 35, don't be 40 and be by yourself. The sisters won't say nothing, but in the back of their mind, they're going to say, honey, is everything okay? They're saying, you know, why you ain't got nobody?
with being seen. God sent me by the test to let you know there's nothing wrong with singleness. Single folk ought to say amen in there. Nobody else said amen. I want you to know that you can even reach your purpose being single. Now, I'm not talking about if you once was married and you divorced, that's another sermon. If you was once married and you divorced, you're unmarried. You ain't single. Can I teach you a thing? No. If you once had a thing and that thing was taken away from you, it does not mean that you steal that thing. You some different then. And you have different needs if you are divorced. If you are, your spouse is taken away by way of death, you are not single. You are unmarried. You are what the Bible calls widowed. That's a whole nother sermon. We get it mixed up. The scripture has been read, and we're going to read it as a family. Very strange sermonic scripture for singleness found in the book of Matthew. Chapter 22, verse 34. And if you have the King James Version, as is customary here, if you would stand to your feet in reverence to the Almighty Word, that's just how we're here, that's not the only way. But we read the Word of God as a family. Again, if you have the King James Version, we're going to read the specific verse of focus. And it is found in verse 39. Verse 39. Actually, it is the B part of verse 39. That's our focal point. If you have a King James rendering, from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 39, 1, 2, 3, read. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
Now, how is that speaking to singles? Couched in that verse. Well, let me just paint a picture real quick. The Pharisees, a lawyer in specific, trying to trick Jesus, ask him the question. He says, Jesus, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus gave him a twofold answer. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Did you see it there in the text? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He was good with that. But then he says, the second part of it, he says, as equally as important as that, he says, this is the first and great commandment. And the second, somebody say part B.
Part B.
Actually, he's saying this is just as important, just as equal to that. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Couched in that last part is how to be single and how to be married. It's right there in the text. He's saying, we're so focused on loving our neighbor. We're so focused in getting into a relationship with somebody else. Before I can love somebody else, I got to love myself. It's right there in the text. He says, love our neighbor as you love yourself. The problem with most folk is they don't like themselves, let alone love themselves, and they try to get into a relationship. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Amen. Praise God.
I want you to pray with me on a topic. I do have a topic. The topic is singleness. That's all it is. It's singleness. Somebody say singleness. The subtopic is being comfortable in your own skin. Our God and our Father, it's preaching time. We ask Anna, that you give preaching. Nothing occurs unless you speak. Speak now, God. Through this vessel of clay, Father, teach me exactly what you would have me to say. You know who is here today. And Father, we ask that you would make us to be different when we leave this place. We already sense your presence. Further express yourself now through this preached word. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask it all. Say with me, amen.
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 You may take your seat on that last amen. Singleness. There is a pressure, an unspoken pressure to get married. What if you had to take a flight somewhere? Only way for you to get there is to fly. But upon arriving to buy your ticket, a disclaimer was on your ticket that you got a 50% chance of crashing and burning. Would you fly? Come on, somebody. Would you fly? If down at the bottom of the ticket is there's a 50% chance that you will crash and burn. Most people would go. But yet and still, folk get married every day. But in America, there's a 50% chance that you're going to crash and burn. Somebody say divorce. Yeah. 50%, over 50% of marriages end up in divorce. You know, why is it that we send out invitations and we call everybody and everybody dresses up and we decorate and sometimes we have these weddings that's on site. We go to Hawaii and the Virgin Islands and these nice places and get married and it don't work out. You know, you call the preacher, the minister to marry you, but when it don't work out, you go down to the courthouse. You don't care who separates you. You just want to be separated. You ought to have to call everybody back. Dress up. Come back to the place that you were married and get it undone. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing in there. Lord have mercy. Before I can talk about being single, I have to talk about divorce just for a little while. Lord have mercy. Before anybody gets married, they ought to talk to somebody who has gone through divorce. And I'm gonna tell you why. Divorce is worse than death. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. I'm going to say it again. Going through divorce is worse than death. I'm going to tell you how. Now, in death, when somebody dies, you at least get to go through process. Somebody say process. There is a process of grief that one has to go through. There's a time, and I'm not teaching about death, but I just want to just touch on it to prove a point. And going through grief, there's a point of bitterness. You're mad, you're angry, you don't understand, you ask why me? You go through all of this process, you're grieving, you're crying. Let me just stop right here and say the problem with a lot of people is they don't know how to go through grief. See, going through grief, the Bible says there is a time to weep. The problem is people don't want to cry because they're so proud they don't want to see nobody. Come on, you don't want nobody to see me. But going through grief means when I feel like crying, I don't, it's like the spirit when it hits me. I don't care where I'm at. I might be on a job and the spirit hit me. You might see my hand go up. I ain't got no help in here. No. When grief hits you, you're supposed to let it go. That's what I say, let it go. You see people sneezing and they walk in and just hold it back. The blood on top of your brain. When you gotta cry. So I say, go through it. Weeping might endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. to go through process. See, at least with death, I can go through process. I can cry. I can mourn. I can see the person's lifeless body. I can see the casket closed. I can see it put in the ground, and I can see the dirt put on top of it. I have closure. It is at that point I know it's over. It's at that point I know it's time for me to move on, because I'm still left here for some reason. Talk back to me if you can. But divorce ain't like that. Divorce means I got to go through death every time I see that Negro. Talk back to me if you can. It is a perpetual death and resurrection. I got to live it all over again. I'm sitting here enjoying my day. He got nerve enough to bring her here. Oh, talk back to me. Divorce is worse than death, because once you are intimate with the person, we understand the physicality. The Bible says, and the two shall become one flesh. Somebody say one flesh. We understand that physical connection, but that's an emotional connection. That's a spiritual connection that goes much deeper than that physical connection. And divorce rips and tears that apart. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Somebody say, you don't want to get divorced. It is something that people sometimes never recover from. But look at somebody and say, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
With God.
With God.
Back to singleness. My first point is, if you're single, that doesn't mean that you're alone.
Amen. Amen.
If you're single, I'm going to say it again. If you're single, that does not mean that you are alone. A lot of people get married thinking that their singleness is going to be fixed. But marriage does not fix your aloneness. You follow me? There's a lot of people who are married and alone. Ah, you got quiet right there. I'm going to say, it's the difference of being single and alone. When God made Adam, Adam was alone and he functioned well. I'm trying to help somebody. And he functioned well alone for a season. If you look at that word alone, it means all one. It has nothing to do who's with you. Everything that we need to function in this world was put on the inside of us when God made us in his image. That's why if I'm single, there's nothing wrong with me. Thank you very much. When I learn to embrace this season of singleness, I will stop focusing on getting somebody here with me and understand the person that's already with me. You're trying to fill a hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill. People get married, they still messed up from the floor is because the hole is still there. The hole should have been repaired before you got to somebody. Lord have mercy. All marriage does is uncover who you really are. Marriage don't fix anything. Marriage exposes who we really are. You want to know who I really am? Live with me for a year. You will see the true bread. When I come before you here, I'm fixed up best I can, but I don't look like this all the time. And I don't act like this all the time either. See, we spend so much time fixing the outer appearance, but until you single person start looking on the inside.
I heard it last week. I can't look on the inside.
God gives us discernment. And if you don't have no discernment, ask God for it. Discernment will let you sit down beside somebody. They ain't said a word from you, and you can just say something. Or Mike went out right there. I'm gonna sit down again. Discernment will let you sit down beside somebody. They ain't said a word. You ain't said a word. But something. Check that. Women, you ain't supposed to be picking nobody nowhere. The man that finds a wife, finds a good friend. Stop looking. Look at that woman and say, stop looking. You ain't supposed to, that's out of order. See, what we do is we get with somebody and we ask God to bless. God ain't going to bless wrong. How he's going to bless what we do. Somebody say order.
Order.
When Eve, check this out. When Eve was made, God didn't say, here this woman, take her, she's yours, and you can't have nobody else. The Bible says when Eve was made, God presented, brought her, in other words, paraded Eve in front of Adam and said, how do you like that? What I'm getting at, he gave Adam a choice. I'm talking to the woman now. No. You looking for your soulmate that God gonna put you with? No, honey. That ain't how it works. God will not make me be with nobody I don't want to be with. Your singleness is a season for you to get ready. It's a time of preparation. What do I mean by preparing yourself? Prepare yourself by spending some time alone with God. Reading the Word. Living in holiness. Living in singleness of mind and spirit. Some of us are so focused on what we think the goal is. The goal is not marriage. The goal is maturity. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And sometimes I can't reach maturity because you're keeping me down.
All right.
Don't get hooked up with Lot. I won't say that again. Singleness. Somebody say singleness. Lord have mercy. Singleness is to be embraced. Now here's my point. Jesus was saying to love thy neighbor as thyself. Somebody say, as thyself.
Yes.
That means I'm supposed to love you.
Come on.
That's right. The reason I don't know how to love me is because most people don't know what love is. There's 14 different attributes of the word love that I'm supposed to be exhibiting with myself. When you're sitting there looking in the mirror, I don't like my hair, I don't like my nails, I don't like my feet, I don't like my butt. Just running yourself down. And you want somebody to get to that. Just about say, are you comfortable in your own skin? Somebody that like that. I'm so glad in my own skin.
Amen.
I'm trying to lose weight for a man.
Amen. Amen.
You better get a man that loves weight. The world dictates what I'm supposed to love. Mama, I know what I like. If you want to lose weight for help so that you'll stay around here long enough to take the gospel to somebody. Lord have mercy. I didn't already say that you can't reach your purpose and your destiny being seen. Jesus did it. Did he not? Paul did it. Never met myself. Matter of fact, Paul said, I wish you were like me. Paul had the gift of celibacy. Did you hear me? Now, don't be foolish and pray for celibacy. Pray for self-control.
Amen.
Self-control is an attribute of the fruit of the Spirit. And we've been taught wrong, we've been listening to that wrong. There are no fruits of the Spirit. There's one fruit. There's about five or six different attributes of that fruit. Can I break it down like this? Men and that we got two children, Joshua and Faith. Joshua and Faith are not me. They're my fruit.
Amen.
Did you get that? They came from us, but they are not us.
Amen.
Are you following what I'm saying? So what we must understand is that we can indeed reach our purpose and our destiny being single. And get this, marriage is only as good as I am single. But we got to ask the question, if they knew me like I knew me, would they still marry me? Y'all ain't thinking. Now, I want you to really think. Somebody says, see love. I want you to think about this. If the one I want, if they knew me like I knew me, would they still want to marry me? Oh, you got quiet right there. I said before, we're looking for Mr. Right. He does not exist. There is no Mr. Right.
Amen.
If you're going to label all of mankind, we will be labeled Mr. Wrong.
Amen.
You're actually looking for Mr. Wrong that's got Jesus on the inside.
That's right. Amen, Pastor. Amen.
That's why when someone finds, I'm talking from a woman's perspective, when someone finds me, my first impression needs to be, do you know Christ? Now, I ain't got to ask them that. I can know whether they know Christ or not by the way they live. You know, we got some people, they want to put a sign on their back, wear a fish on their car. Blow their hand. They got a fish on their car, they'll blow their hand and put their flip you the bird in a minute. Y'all never say nothing.
Amen.
I'm talking about not what I know not what I've seen. I think some men don't like they flip me the bird, and as they drive by, I see the sign of the fish on their car. How does that, what does that make that, how does that make Christ look? Lord have mercy. Marriage exposes who we really are. We must learn to embrace. Somebody say embrace. We must learn to embrace where God has us at this moment in time. And we must learn to embrace who we are in that moment. How do we learn how to, you got to learn how to love that now. When I say love, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Somebody who loves you will tell you the truth. Now, I'm not talking about the narcissistic type of love. Some of you not only love you, you worship you. Are y'all going to get quiet on me? When I say love, you got to learn how to tell yourself no. Some of y'all don't love yourself because you won't tell yourself no. You see it, you go get it and eat it. Or you're going to get quiet on it. You know you ain't got no business with that. Y'all got some funny looks. But you go get it anyway. You know it's going to hurt. I heard somebody say, well, it won't hurt long. And you slowly kill yourself with the dainties of this world. There's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is destruction. There's a path called, that's wide, but there's also a path called straight. Straight and narrow is the gate. If you are single, understand that singleness is not a curse. Singleness is a season for you to get your life right, your house in order. How do you do that? Spend some time alone with God. You got to understand that you got to be so independent that all you need is me, my God, and I. God is not going to hook a godly man up with a pen. What he's going to do is he's going to give me choice. Remember, go look at that text. God did not force Eve on Adam. He presented Eve to Adam. Adam had to make a choice. My question to you is, would you be chosen? In a line. Y'all like to see that. Stop worrying about the outer appearance. Getting your nails done is all right. Getting your hands did is all right. But don't forget your heart.
Amen, Pastor.
Lord, thank you. Don't forget your heart. How do you get your heart right? Read the Word of God. Go to that virtuous woman and find the attributes of that virtuous woman and ask yourself, am I like her? Lord, have mercy. That virtuous woman, if you go and read it, she was a businesswoman. She had something going on in her life. You looking for a real man? A real Adam got something going on in his life. Adam was put in the garden to tend something. You ought to be tending to something. Lord, have mercy. And if you ain't tending to something, you ought to get something to tend. You ought to work something. Somebody say, work something. Something ought to be working in your life. If you ain't working, something in your life ought to be working. Give God a hand clap of praise. Singleness is not a curse. Singleness doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. Singleness means that God has you there for a reason. And remember, you're not single if you're divorced. You're unmarried. You're not single if you're widowed. You're widowed. You need a whole different set of parameters. The singles ministry is going to be reactivated here along with the couples ministry. And let me just say this. The singles ministry isn't a place for you to find somebody. I'm going to say that again. Not at faith. I'm talking about at faith. At faith, the singles ministry is not a hookup. This is not a hookup. Church is not a hookup. Unless you're going to hook up with Christ. All right. So when you come to faith or when you go to end of church, if you're looking for a man, look for Jesus. Amen. We extend a Christian invitation to those who may not know Christ as Lord and life-saving, and so